have order? May we have order? May we have order so that the gentleman can be heard?
The applause and the shouting are coming from the delegations from New York, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Vermont. That's all I can see.
The delegates, please take their seats so that the governor can be heard. We are under limitation of time. The governor of New York is recognized for 5 minutes, and please give him your attention.
Mr. Chairman, Congressman Laird, fellow delegates, alternates, and friends, I move that the language read by Senator Scott be inserted in the proposed 1964 Republican platform. The time has come for the Republican Party to face this issue realistically and take decisive action. Yeah. It is essential that this convention repudiate here and now any doctrine any doctrinaire militant minority, whether communist, Ku Klux Klan, or Bircher.
For Nolan, that was California leader for Goldwater.
Which would subvert this party to purposes alien to the very basic tenets which gave this party birth.
Senator Dirksen of Illinois.
As President Eisenhower said only 2 hours ago from this very rostrum, the Republican Party should reject extremism from either the left or the right. Precisely 1 year ago today, on July 14th, 1963, I warned that the Republican Party is in real danger of subversion by a radical, well-financed, highly disciplined majority. A minority wholly alien to the sound and honest conservatism that has firmly based the Republican Party in the best of a century's tradition. Wholly alien to the sound and honest Republican liberalism that has kept this party abreast of human need. That has kept this party abreast of human needs in a changing world. Wholly alien to the broad middle course that accommodates the mainstream of Republican principle. During this year, I have crisscrossed this nation, fighting for these principles, fighting to keep the Republican Party, the party fighting to keep the Republican Party the party of all the people. And warning of the extremist threat, its danger to the party.
We're going to have several speakers here on various amendments. We must proceed in an orderly manner. I think it's only fair and right to all concerned.
It's danger to the party and it's danger to the nation. The methods of these extremist elements I have experienced at first hand.
That's right.
Their tactics have ranged from cancellation by coercion of a speaking engagement before a college to outright threats of personal violence.
My fault, you don't control the audience. I got 5 minutes worth. You control the audience and I'll make my 5 minutes.
Thank you. The governor is entitled to be heard for 5 minutes.
That's right.
Now, he can't be heard for 5 minutes. We're going to have these constant interruptions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is still a free country, ladies and gentlemen.
These things, ladies and gentlemen, have no place in America, but I can personally testify to their existence, and so can countless others who have also experienced anonymous midnight and early morning telephone calls. Unsigned and threatening letters, smear and hate literature, strong arm and goon tactics, bomb threats and bombings. Infiltration and takeover of established political organizations by communist and Nazi methods. Some of you don't like to hear it, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the truth. These extremists feed on fear, hate, and terror. They have no program for America, no program for the Republican Party, no program to keep the peace and bring freedom to the world. On the contrary, they spread distrust, they engender suspicion, they encourage disunity, and they operate from the dark shadows of secrecy.
I'm sorry. Time is up.
I have not. You haven't kept this audience.
Mr. Chairman, could I yield the governor of New York one additional minute?
Thank you.
Governor, you can yield in one additional minute, and please, let's have order. The minute doesn't start yet. Let me get to the line.
You get it, Tom. It's your job.
Now, look. The governor hasn't had a chance to talk. He's been up here 10 minutes and he hasn't had a chance to talk but about 4 minutes. The chairman of the Resolutions Committee has yielded him additional time to finish his statement. I respectfully request that you remain silent and give him attention.
Thank you. Thank you.
These elements have called President Eisenhower, and I quote, a dedicated conscious agent of the communist conspiracy. And they have labeled a great Republican Secretary of State, the late John Foster Dulles, a communist agent. There is no place in the Republican Party for such hawkers of hate, such purveyors of prejudice. Such fabricators of fear, whether communists, Ku Klux Klan, or birchers. There is no place in this Republican Party for those who would infiltrate its ranks, distort its aims, and convert it into a cloak of apparent respectability for a dangerous extremism. And make no mistake about it, the hidden members of the John Birch Society and others like them are out to do just that. These are people who have nothing in common with republicanism. These are people who have nothing in common with Americanism. The Republican Party must repudiate these people. I move the adoption of this resolution. Thank you.
Governor Rockefeller was asking the convention to adopt an amendment to the platform expressing Republican opposition to extremism, naming the Communist Party, the Ku Klux Klan, the John Birch Society, and others.
If we get this platform taken care of tonight, and then we can start hollering for whoever we want. To whom does the chairman yield, and how much time?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to yield 4 minutes to the chairman of the Republican Policy Committee in the House of Representatives, the Honorable John Burns of Wisconsin, to speak in opposition to the amendment.
Yeah, opponents of the amendment yield 4 minutes to the congressman from Wisconsin, the Honorable John Burns.
Mr. Chairman, fellow delegates, I rise in opposition to this amendment. In my judgment, it's dangerous. It's demeaning, and it has no place in a Republican platform. I don't speak to you as one who has ignored the problems created by the extreme right-wing and extreme left-wing groups in our nation. I have spoken often on the subject in my state and in my district. But fellow delegates, I didn't attack these groups on the specious and stultifying grounds proposed in this amendment. I attacked these groups on the basis of the ideas they had advanced, and I attacked those ideas because I believed them faulty. I would be the last, and the Republican Party should be the last, to deny those of the far right or the far left the right to express their fears, voice their views, and advance their solutions as long as they do so within the framework of the laws protecting the rights of the rest of us. Obviously, the right of free speech does not encompass the right to make false and damaging charges against individuals. And obviously, freedom of assembly does not guarantee the right to encourage or engage in conspiracy aimed at overthrowing the government. But it is the essence of liberty and one of its greatest strengths that there be no bar to the unhampered clash of ideas. And to the extent that we prohibit or inhibit the flow of ideas, be they good or bad, to that extent, we weaken individual freedom. To that extent, we endanger the liberty of all of us. And that's the flaw in this amendment. It engages in the kind of activity it seeks to condemn because it tries... It tries to suppress a lawful activity. It puts this party in the posture of seeking to destroy ideas, not by condemning the ideas, but by ostracizing their source. It puts this party in a position it has never been in before. It puts the Republican Party in the position of questioning the right of any American to assemble and freely speak his views, no matter how distasteful those views might be to some one of us. I ask you, fellow delegates, do you want the Republican Party to go before the American people trembling in the fear that of ideas that opposes? Are we to accept the charge?
The chairman would like to yield one additional minute to the gentleman from Wisconsin.
Are we to accept the charge implicit in this amendment that the Republican Party is in danger of being taken over by the very ideas its platform denounces? Is this party going to demean itself by insinuating in its platform that irresponsible and extreme ideas can prevail among us? I flatly reject those views. Ours is a positive position. We say to the extremists, if you wish to infiltrate our party with your ideas, come on ahead and try it. We'll meet you head on. Not with resolution. Not with resolutions questioning your right to differ with us. Not with resolutions repudiating your right even to exist. We'll meet you with Republican ideas, Republican principles, with Republican conviction. And we'll defeat you, not by trying to deny you your right to speak, but by exposing your ideas to the white glare of public scrutiny and by confronting you with better ideas, Republican principles.
Some of the states applauding now, delegations of Texas,
does the chairman
California.
Yield and how much time?
I would like to yield 3 minutes to Representative Ab Seibel of Connecticut to speak in support of the amendment.
Congressman Seibel of Connecticut is recognized for 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, fellow delegates to this convention, throughout its history, the Republican Party has represented the best in America's political traditions. Throughout history, the American people have rejected extremism, the radicalism of the left, the radicalism of the right. Extremism is alien to the Republican Party, and it is alien to America. There is no place in responsible American politics for any group that will use any means, take any measures, no matter how ruthless, no matter how unprincipled, to satisfy their lust for power. The communists, the clanners, the birches, these groups do not share in the traditions or beliefs of American democracy or of the Republican Party. We as Republicans respect constructive criticism and defend the rights of every individual to dissent as part of our democratic process. It is essential that this convention assure the American people that the Republican Party wants no part of any reckless, radical extremism that would undermine the basic freedom of America and the basic traditions of the Republican Party. This convention must recognize that there are such groups seeking to use the Republican Party as a vehicle for the achievement of their alien goals, just as the Communist Party, sought to use the Democratic Party. Make no mistake about it, the subversion of our American political processes, whether from the left or whether from the right, represents a real danger to the American free political system. The Republican Party must disassociate itself from such groups. Let us do so here tonight while we still have a chance. I urge the adoption of the resolution.
Whom does the gentleman yield and how much time?
I yield to the gentleman from Montana, Representative James Batten, to speak in opposition to the amendment, 3 minutes.
Congressman Batten is recognized for 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I feel very much like the person who was asked by the judge, have you stopped beating your wife? The impression is left, I'm afraid, that if this resolution is defeated, then there's some endorsement, which is the furthest thing that there could be from the truth. I would say without hesitation or qualification that the Republican Party consistently has been the Republican Party infiltrated by no one. I would tell you another event in history where in 1924, the party of opposition was asked to condemn the Ku Klux Klan, and they didn't do it. They wisely didn't do it because it has no place here, now, or before in a Republican platform or a party of opposition platform. It just doesn't make good sense. Surprised, and I say this with sincerity, that those who are pushing this tonight would rely upon a doctrine that has been long since discredited, the question of guilt by association. Let us put this whole thing in its proper perspective. Last week, when the platform convention started here in this great city, the first thing I heard was that the platform was rigged. The next thing I heard was that there was going to be a minority report to a document that had not been considered by the platform. I wonder if, in fact, we shouldn't re-examine our position and try to really decide what an extremist is as it's used in the context here. Maybe it's one who disagrees with another. I don't know, but that's what it seems to me. I would suggest that we quit calling names. Let us adopt our platform, for we have a good one. Let us reject the amendment as unneeded and not proper for a platform of the Republican Party that believes in the right of the individual. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I yield 2 minutes to Representative Silvio Conti of Massachusetts to speak in support of the amendment.
Congressman is recognized for 2 minutes, and may we have order before we start counting his time. Representative Conti.
Mr. Chairman, Congressman Laird, fellow delegates and fellow Americans, quickly to answer Congressman Batten's charge that in 1924, the Democratic Convention failed to disassociate itself with the Ku Klux Klan is true. It was after 3 days of debate, and they lost by 0.7 of a vote. And after that convention, the Democrats lost to Cal Coolidge by one of the largest pluralities in the history of this country. The Republican Party has a crucial decision to make here and now. It must decide whether it will recognize the dangers from those who would rewrite the party's history and undermine its future. It must decide whether it will act now to halt the forces of extremism, or whether it will bury its head in the sand, hoping that these forces will somehow fade away. Our inaction can only spur them on. Our silence can only encourage them. It is my conviction, and I know that it is the conviction of the Republican Party throughout the country, that we should scuttle this group from the Republican Party. This group, which seems... this group which seeks to impugn the loyalty and the patriotism of those who stand in the path of their avowed objectives, which use secrecy, dictatorial tactics, smears, and character assassination, which deal in rumor and gross exaggeration of falsehood, which influence human passions through bigotry and prejudice. I ask you this question: do we want a society to infiltrate the Republican Party, which president of this society impugns the loyalty and the patriotism of leading Republicans such as Dwight D. Eisenhower, John Foster Dulles, former Vice President Richard M. Nixon? Let me quote from their book, The Black Book and the Blue Book, and by their president, Mr. Welch, when he says on page 267 of The Politician, "My firm belief that Dwight Eisenhower is a dedicated, conscious agent of the communist conspiracy is based on accumulation of detailed evidence so extensive that it seems to me to put this conviction beyond any reasonable doubt."
Time of the gentleman has expired.
30 seconds more. I have a minute.
I yield the gentleman an additional 30 seconds.
Thank you for your generosity. It is my own opinion.
Just a minute. I would like to state to the chair that this 10-minute time limit was established by your side, not by mine, in supporting this document.
Let us have order. Let us have order.
I like to quote from page 267, "I think Milton Eisenhower is a communist and has been for 39 years. This opinion is based largely on general circumstances of his conduct. We must serve notice by adoption of this resolution that there is no home in the Republican Party for extremist elements of whatever stripe or whatever ideology. We must reaffirm here and now that the Republican Party is a party of freedom, the party of progress, the party of responsibility, and the party of all the people."
The chair, Mr. Chairman, I yield 3 minutes to the senator from Colorado, Senator Peter Dominick, to speak in opposition to the amendment.
Senators recognized for 3 minutes.
Fellow delegates and fellow Americans, I want to start out by answering Representative Connie as far as General Eisenhower's published statements are concerned. On July 13, 1964, just a few days ago, at a press conference, President Eisenhower said, and I quote, "I do not believe in condemning any group by specific names." Close quote. This party and this platform sets forth positive principles, positive goals, and positive steps to attain those goals. It does not, I repeat, does not invoke restrictions on the individual, but instead offers programs to regain such freedoms. It offers interplay of ideas, not drab uniformity. It offers programs of strength, not weakness. A party with strength, vitality, principle, and devotion to freedom need not fear subversion or infiltration from the right or the left. Our party platform of 1960 set forth its opposition to bigotry, smears, and unfair tactics in political campaigns. And this plank is incorporated by reference in the 1964 plank. It is inherent in our party principles and a basic belief of all of us. And I suggest that the opposition keep this in mind. As I urge you to vote down this amendment, which would put us in the censorship field instead of in the political arena, I call your attention to Governor Romney's own statement this morning or yesterday when he said that he did not believe in calling people by specific names. In closing, I want to call your attention to what the real meaning of this Republican platform of ours is. And I quote, "It is the Republican way to support, not harass, to encourage, not restrain, to build confidence and not threaten, and to provide stability and not unrest. I urge you all, in the process of defeating this particular amendment, to also make plain that by so doing, we are not in any way endorsing any group of the right or left which seeks to infiltrate or weaken our party. We lay and rest and stand on our ideas." Thank you.
I'm Senator McGuire. Chairman of the Resolutions Committee, prepared to yield back the balance of the time.
Mr. Chairman, I have no further requests for time. I therefore yield back my time under the rules of the House of Representatives, which are the rules of this convention.
The amendment has been...
I demand a division.
The motion has been made, and a division is demanded by the senator from Pennsylvania. Will you, delegates who favor the amendment, rise and remain standing until I can count you.
All in New York. Those delegations standing, we can see, we can't see them all. In New York.
Just the front, the commission, see. Don't count the hall.
What is that one over there?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Vermont, New Hampshire.
The ayes will be seated.
Well, don't, that was not...
And the nays will rise.
That was not an accurate list.
Back there, just the delegates. The nays will rise.
Well, there's no question about the outcome. The proposed amendment has been decisively turned down.
Just as a very rough guess, no more than that, it looked like 7, 8, 9 to 1 against.
This is the first time in my memory, David, that I've ever seen an issue decided by a standing vote count. It's either been a poll of the delegations or the aye and nay voice vote.
It's the only alternative to a voice vote, which on any...
amendment was offered in a minority report, which is perfectly proper under the rules of this convention. For the purpose of bringing that amendment before the convention, the chair recognizes the delegate from Michigan, Mr. Van Dusen.
The only alternative is a voice vote, which on anything of substance is impossible, because everybody in the hall shouts.
In the belief that a good platform can be made better, I propose an amendment by inserting on page 14, under the under the heading Faith in the Individual, after the full paragraph which concludes with equal rights and equal opportunities for all, a new paragraph as follows. You will note some similarities to the last one. I hope you will also note some differences. The Republican Party fully respects the contribution of responsible criticism and defends the right of dissent in the democratic process. But we repudiate the efforts of irresponsible, extremist individuals and groups to discredit our party by their efforts to infiltrate positions of responsibility in the party or to attach themselves to its candidates. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the amendment.
Same rules will prevail under this amendment. The chairman has 1 hour under his control. To whom does the chairman yield and how much time?
Mr. Chairman, I yield 10 minutes to speak in support of this amendment to the governor of the great state of Michigan, the Honorable George Romney.
This is essentially the same amendment as the one just voted down, but without the names of any specific organization.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, Congressman Laird, fellow delegates, and fellow Republicans, I'm here at this convention because I profoundly believe that present basic trends and perils are rushing us toward a national crisis. And I believe to avoid or to survive that crisis, the Republican Party must promote the program and provide the leadership that will capture the interest, respect, and support of a majority of Americans. I think the future of this nation depends on that. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not here to aid any candidate speaking at this time, and I am not here to detract from any candidate. And I appear to seek your open-minded consideration of a still stronger and more complete platform that will meet our needs as a party and as a nation. We have a good platform. I'm not here to criticize this platform. I'm here to improve it. I make this urgent plea for your open minds and hearts for the purpose of giving the candidate to be selected by this convention a better opportunity to win this fall. The strongest personality on earth cannot deal with the problems of this nation except upon the basis of correct principles.
Our party was founded at a time of grave national crisis. It was our mission at our birth under Lincoln to preserve this nation established by divine providence with a divine destiny. The nation and its destiny were imperiled not only by the irreconcilable conflict between slavery and freedom, but also by the extremism of that time. And the extremism and lily-white Protestantism destroyed the Whig Party and brought the Republican Party into being. The extremists of that day called themselves the Sacred Cult of the Star-Spangled Banner officially. They were known popularly as the Know-Nothings. While their political leaders sought refuge in silence, while other political leaders did, Lincoln spoke out as forcefully against the Know-Nothing extremists of his day as he did about slavery. He attacked both as a violation of the source of freedom and greatness. He attacked both slavery and Know-Nothing extremism as a violation of the principle of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of all mankind. And had Lincoln ignored the Know-Nothing extremists of his day, he would not have been President of the United States and saved the nation. In 1854, Lincoln said, quote, "As a nation, we began by declaring that all men are created equal. We now practically read it, all men are created equal except Negroes. When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read, quote, all men are created equal except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics. When it comes to this," and these are still Lincoln's words, "when it comes to this, I shall prefer emigrating to some country where they make no pretense of loving liberty, to Russia, for example, where despotism can be taken pure and without the base alloy of democracy." Those are Lincoln's own words. Current forces within and without that would destroy this nation are greater and more complex than they were in Lincoln's day. With extremists of the right and the left preaching and practicing hate and bearing false witness on the basis of guilt by association and circumstantial rationalization, and with a few such extremists rising to official positions of leadership in the Republican Party, we cannot recapture the respect of the nation and lead it to the essential spiritual, moral, and political rebirth if we hide our heads in the sand and decline to even recognize in our platform that the nation is again beset by modern extremists. Unlike the ramblers I used to sell, the Republican Party must have a big wheelbase and a big body. There must be room in the Republican Party for everyone except those whose primary political loyalties are to outside minority groups. Does any genuine, real, red-blooded Republican need to engage in political activity as a part of an outside political organization? Can we regain the respect of those additional millions whose support we must have if we are unwilling to repudiate the few whose prime reason for party activity is not to accomplish our Republican objectives, but the outside objectives of an outside minority group to which they belong? Can we ignore the tactics of such individuals and organizations? And I do not condemn any organization as an organization or all the people belonging to it. That was the defect in the previous amendment. And I don't condemn them of the right or the left, with the exception of the communists. As a group. But can we ignore the tactics of such individuals and organizations on the right and the left who commit the grievous sin of condemning on a group basis and on a basis of guilt by association? Can we command the respect of others when such outside groups and their extreme adherents are striving to destroy the reputation of our party's heroes and leaders, and I include General Eisenhower? On the contrary, let us particularly at this time rededicate ourselves to the true Republican spirit and the true American spirit, and use this inspired counsel from the Bible. If we live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit, not biting and devouring one another. Let us take the lead in replacing organized efforts at character assassination with organized effort to esteem our brothers as ourselves. Nations and political parties are judged largely by their leaders and those on whom the leaders rely. When extremists infiltrate our party and attach themselves like parasites to our candidates and leaders, and even become leaders in a few instances themselves, our party is discredited in the eyes of those whose support we must have to win. It's more essential that we repudiate and eliminate those few from our ranks than to see our cause fail. For in my opinion, based on our experience in Michigan, fail it will if we do not rid ourselves of today's few dedicated extremist know-nothings. If our platform continues to completely ignore, as it does, the extremist problem, our opponents will use this deficiency with great effectiveness against us. How can we ignore the lesson learned at our birth? This is not a design related to the candidates of this convention. I can't overstress that. It is not. It's a simple question of taking a position that will either keep us from being destroyed by those whose political loyalties are elsewhere, or whose conduct will rob us of that which not enriches them, but leaves us poor indeed, because it only takes a few of this type to discredit this whole party. Our party's future and our party's mission are in danger. I beseech you, I'm practically through. I beseech
Governor,
you to
Governor,
follow the dictates.
I'd like to yield 2 additional minutes to the Governor of Michigan.
I won't need them, thank you. I beseech you to follow the dictates of your own conscience and your own judgment and vote for this amendment solely on the basis of its merit. That's the only reason the Michigan delegation has submitted this amendment. And let me read it to you carefully again. The Republican Party fully respects the contributions of responsible criticism and defends the right of dissent in the democratic process. But we repudiate the efforts of irresponsible individuals and extremist groups to discredit our party by their efforts to infiltrate positions of responsibility in the party or to attach themselves to our candidates. This language and this action has no ulterior purpose. It will strengthen our platform and increase our prospect of victory. True, it's a small amendment,
But remember, the differences between success and failure are small. Baseball games are won by matters of inches and fractions of inches. The nail lost the shoe the horse the battle, the war the nation the empire. Victory and defeat is a matter of small things. Sure, this is a small amendment, but it's a vital amendment. And we need it because the nation needs a Republican victory all over this nation in 1964.
Chair yields 4 minutes to the senator from Colorado, a member of the platform committee, to speak in opposition to the amendment, Senator Peter Dominick.
Chair recognizes the junior senator from Colorado.
Fellow delegates, fellow Americans, I have a kind of a tough and unhappy job. I don't like to oppose the very distinguished governor from Michigan who has given you an impassioned plea on behalf of an amendment which frankly doesn't mean an awful lot. I've been working on the drafting committee and I've been working on the platform committee all of last week along with the other members. These proposals, or at least this one, was not proposed to the drafting committee, and it was proposed very late one night in a rather heated time, I might say, to the general platform committee and has since been changed. Do you know that we have been offered six different types of amendments on this thing in the last 2 days? How do we know? How do we know what is or is not an extremist? How do we know in our platform? How do we as a party set ourselves up as judges of what other people should think or do? The other day, I was given a rather interesting document, and I'll take just a minute or two to tell you about it. It's an editorial from the New York Times. You know what the date is? May 30, 1765. And this is what it says. We have increasingly become disturbed by the rights of extremism in some of our sister colonies, notably Virginia and Massachusetts. The latest example of this unwholesome trend is a speech by Patrick Henry in the House of Burgess in Virginia. Mr. Henry, whose credentials as a lawyer are dubious, has long been a spokesman of that small but vocal minority who seek to undermine confidence in the Crown and its institution. It might be well for His Majesty to appoint a commission to investigate any possible connection between Mr. Henry and the smuggling interests in Boston and certain other ports. Ha ha! How about that? You and I don't want to have extremists, but I would say to you that the platform is no place for us to set ourselves up as judges on who is or who is not an extremist. I would suggest to you that we have been through these arguments in the previous motion, that we have a great deal of other business to do, that you carry on with the platform that we presented to you by rejecting this, and that we get on to the other business of the night. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I yield myself 1 minute.
Senator's ready.
Fellow delegates, Senator from Colorado attempted to use some satire from an article in order to express his opposition to this amendment. I concur with his position as far as opposing the amendment. This Republican Party platform of 1964 speaks for itself, and it rejects extremism, and anyone that has read this document from cover to cover would know that this is a party program for victory for our party, and it is a represents the mainstream of Republican thinking, not the extremist position of either side.
Let us have order. You prepared to yield back the balance of your time?
Mr. Chairman, I yield back the balance of my time. I have no further request for time, and under the rules of the House, I yield all further time.
All right, you've heard the question. You delegates, and I hope our guests will not vote on this. You delegates who favor the amendment, please say aye. Contrary, no.
No.
Noes have it. The amendment is rejected. A division has been requested. Will you delegates who favor the amendment please rise and remain standing until counted? Delegates will be seated. Those who are in opposition to the amendment will rise and remain standing until counted. It is obvious that the amendment is rejected. A third amendment, which will be offered by the Senator from Pennsylvania, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I call up the amendment to the civil rights sections of the platform and request that there be read the words which change the original platform words or which add a new language.
Clerk will report the amendment, reporting new language which changes the text of the platform as before us.
Amendment, designated civil rights, proposed by Delegate Senator Scott of Pennsylvania. In Section 3, under the heading Faith in the Individual, on page 12, strike out all after the heading, all that appears on page 13, and down through line 43 on page 14, and insert in lieu thereof the following: immigration legislation seeking to reunite families and continuation of the Fair Share Refugee Program. To aid in this enforcement, we call for a substantial increase in the professional staff of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. The overwhelming Republican support of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 in Congress reflects our party's deep belief that the federal government has constitutional responsibility to assure that all Americans are absolutely guaranteed the right to vote, are assured equal access to public accommodations and public facilities, are guaranteed equal educational and employment opportunities, and assured equal protection of the law. The Republican Party, the party of progress in civil rights, recognizes that the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1946-64 will not cure all ills. Much still remains to be done before equality of opportunity becomes a reality for all Americans. Improvement of civil rights statutes adequate to changing needs of our time, specifically one decade after the Supreme Court's 1954 ruling on segregation in schools, we support legislation requiring school boards, which still maintain segregated school districts, in deliberate violation of that decision, to adopt plans providing for at least first step compliance with the decision by the following school year, and consideration of measures to assure greater protection of citizens in the exercise of their constitutional rights. Such additional administrative or legislative action as may be required to end the denial, for whatever unlawful reason, of the right to vote, and specifically, steps toward implementing Section 2 of the 14th Amendment and legislation applying the voting guarantees of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to state as well as federal elections. The appointment to federal judgeships of men devoted to protecting the constitutional rights of citizens. Continued opposition to discrimination based on race, creed, national origin, or sex. Of particular importance is the elimination of discrimination in employment, and we urge positive action to promote truly open competition in the job market and to assure that the federal, state manpower training programs and vocational education courses are in fact befitting all citizens eligible for such assistance. In addition to its pride in that heritage, the Republican Party assumes special responsibilities by virtue of the fact that it is the party of Lincoln. We are proud of the Republican governors who have led the nation in enactment of fair housing, fair employment, and public accommodation laws. But as Republicans, we believe that civil rights is a responsibility not only of states and localities, it is a national problem and a national responsibility. The Republican Party, the party devoted to preserving the true principles of the federal system, is dedicated to a responsible doctrine of states' rights, but is equally firm in opposing any distortion of this doctrine into an evasion of either state or national responsibility, or turning it into a weapon against human rights. At the state and local level of government, we urge enactment of laws designed to protect constitutional guarantees and an affirmative approach to the implementation of such laws. We also urge private action at the local level to eliminate the frustrations of minorities in the fields of education, housing, unemployment, and public accommodations.